It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America, everybody on the highways, the byways, my people leaving work, going to work, sitting at work, people making money, minding their business, doing whatever the hell they got to do to get on by. Thank you for being locked in. This is where I'll be for the next 3 hours. This show does get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. You can call me up here. Here's the number. You got it? Ready. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, we got a lot to get into. We talked about some silly things that have taken place over the past several days, things that took place in the playoffs and just in the world of sports. Because what the hell we got going on? Hey, how about this? I briefly told you about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are they getting enough respect? They smoked the Grizzlies 131-80 in game one of their playoff series. We're going to talk some Thunder basketball. How about this? Rylan Styles will join us in about 20 minutes. Are the Thunder really going to win the championship? Are they really underrated? Are people really looking at their age and their youth and kind of pointing that out as a detriment? Possibly, maybe. Next hour, we're going to have a chat with Antonio Daniels. Antonio played in the NBA. Point guard running up and down the basketball court. We're going to get his thoughts as he broadcasts on SiriusXM NBA Radio. We'll talk to him about everything going on here in the playoffs. Lakers losing to the Wolves and the Celtics and Mama's boy Jason Tatum. The Warriors on that run and Steph Curry hot already. And so we'll have that chat. So Rylan will come through in 20 minutes to talk about the Thunder. And then next hour we'll have a chat with Antonio Daniels. He'll come on through to talk about everything going on in the NBA. If you missed a minute or second of our show last hour, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Now, we talked about some of these blowouts that we saw. We talked about Steph Curry, Jason Tatum's mom, kind of checking in on his son. Do you need me to go to the Magic locker room? Damian Lillard might be back for the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. A.J. Brown, he got his car back. It was stolen in Philadelphia. It doesn't matter if you're a Super Bowl champion. Doesn't matter if you're Joe Blow. You live in Philly, anybody can get got. We talked about the craziness here in Atlanta, Georgia. Kirk Cousins, apparently the Atlanta Falcons are asking for too much money. They're asking for a potential trade partner to put too much money on the table if they're going to acquire Kirk Cousins. And then the Atlanta Hawks, well, they fired their GM today. What a surprise. Hickey, I used to see, not used to, I say used to like he, well, he just got fired today. Hickey, you would see him all over the arena. He would be going from the suites. He'd be watching from upstairs. He'd be on the floor. Like, he was very present as a GM. And now he's fired.
Maybe that was part of the reason why.
Why?
Too much time walking in between, missing. Maybe he wasn't watching all the game.
Oh, no. Hickey, man. This guy, I guess this is part of the job. Like, paying attention to what's going on. Hickey, before the games, like Kyle Korver was the assistant. I guess Kyle is still here. I didn't hear none about him. The boss, the owner of the team, would like have a chat with them before the game. These guys would just be standing in front of him. They'd just be shaking their heads. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 And I'm like, okay, what type of crap is this? Like they didn't get a word in when they were talking to this guy. So I don't want to say I feel bad for Landry Fields, but hey, Hawks ownership, not the the tightest ran of ships. And so maybe they, this is crazy to me. Hickey, they're hiring a GM before they hire a president of basketball operations. Like, how ass backwards is that?
Very, and I think that just highlights right there what you're just saying of this organization not being very well run, and I think also resulting, for the most part, outside of 1 year, not a lot of playoff success.
None. And I don't know everything about what's going on down here. Hickey, this guy that they hired as the assistant, the GM, they promoted him. I've never seen this guy in my life. And I had to Google what he looked like. And I looked at him and I said, I've never seen this guy. This is a distinguishable figure. It's a bald-headed man with a big beard. I've never seen this guy in my life. And now he's running the basketball team.
I haven't yet seen a picture of what he looks like. Is it Robert Saleh's brother?
No. It's a guy. I don't think his last name is Saleh, is it? No.
Thought it was.
It's like Omni something, right? I don't know.
No, I think isn't Unsi Saleh? Am
Unsi?
I making this up? Am I getting my...
It is Unsi something, right? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's Saleh.
Oh, Saleh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Does he look like Robert Saleh? Like, you know,
no.
No?
No, not at all.
Says bald head. I said, visioned immediately Robert Saleh running down.
You know, Rob Saleh had that beard for a little bit. This guy's beard is almost James Harden-esque, okay?
Oh, wow.
So if I would have saw this guy, maybe I thought he was team security or something, but I know team security, too. I've never seen this guy in my life, so good luck to the Hawks. Apparently, this gentleman worked for the Golden State Warriors at some point. And maybe he'll be a great GM. But with no track record and maybe the Hawks will hire a president and they expect this guy to know what he's doing. And maybe this dude will be the pseudo GM. I don't know. It's just it's sad. I feel bad for the fans here. We getting kind of jerked around when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks. It's just a sad, sad situation. But on another note, before we get back to basketball with our guest, Rollin Styles, in about 15 minutes, I got to get into a very, very sad story. This is a pathetic one. Nico Iamaliava. We heard almost basically a little more than a week ago that this man was out from Tennessee, that he wanted to shake more money out of Tennessee's collective in order to return and play quarterback. At almost the last second, he didn't show up for spring practice. He wanted more money. His dad denied it. Ultimately, Tennessee said, we ain't paying you no more money, and he left. And out of all places for him to go play football, after trying to stick up his school for more cash, he's going to UCLA. Now, I mentioned this last week. UCLA is no ain't no football powerhouse, okay? It's not even USC. They got a new coach last year. Remember the running back Deshaun Foster? That's their new coach. They went 5-7. They're now playing in the Big Ten. And yes, the Big Ten has some big schools. I mean, we got some champions that have come out of the Big Ten the past couple of years. UCLA ain't it. They're trying to crawl out of the toilet. Chip Kelly couldn't get the job done. The last time they had success, you had Mara, who was out there. And so for Nico Iamaliava to go from Tennessee to now formally, it's been formally announced, go to UCLA, it's a step backwards. It's more than a complete money grab. You were going for the money grab at Tennessee, playing in the SEC, trying to grow your stock as a quarterback, maybe go to the NFL, make some more money. You've completely obliterated the long-term development to make big money by making short-term money by going to UCLA. Like, what are we expecting out there? Who are you working with? And I don't know. Maybe Nico Iamaliava will turn out to be the best quarterback that we've ever seen from a development standpoint. It just seems like let's take the money and progress that forward by moving backwards on the football side of things. This is awful for Nico Iamaliava. The Big Ten, UCLA, the talent that he will be playing with and against on a day-to-day, week-to-week practice basis, game-to-game, it ain't the SEC. And you got to take my word for it. I don't agree with a lot of things that this guy says, but Cam Newton was on his podcast, The 4th and 1, and he basically said Nico Iamaliava, he is just screwing up his career. Listen to this.
Whoever gave him the advice to sit out killed that kid.
Regardless of how you bounce back from this, you will be the example. He will have this as a stain on his career. What NIL was and is intended for, it's just to make your college experience comfortable. This is not forever money. There is not a more influential person in my life than my father. But there are certain things that my father can and cannot advise me on. And that's just respect.
Ooh. Now, how about that, right? I don't know about Cam Newton. He's like, hey, this is not supposed to be forever money. This is supposed to make your college experience comfortable. I don't know about that. You try to go out there and make as much money as you can, however you are, wherever you are. But you got to think about the long game. You got to think about the short game. And I agree with Cam. They are not thinking about the long game. You stay in the SEC. You put on the best showing. You get drafted. Where you get drafted, you make the most of it wherever you land. But going backwards to a lesser football program, not a good look. And then you tack on the questions to your commitment. Who's running your life? Who's running your business affairs? These are all questions that these NFL teams, whether, and I think to a certain degree, justifiably so, they look at. I mean, some of the questions that teams, you know, use to evaluate prospects are ridiculous. That one time, I think they asked some kid's mother, you know, about her life. I'm like, whoa, you can't ask some kid about his mama. That's not cool. And some of the questions are dumb. But when it comes to decisions like this, nobody wants to deal with nobody's crazy dad. Nobody wants to deal with nobody's crazy mom. Nobody wants to deal with somebody who doesn't have their own head on their shoulders and can't speak for themselves. And good, Nico Maliava, he's still a young man. He can't make decisions on his own. Does he have to take the advice on his father? And yes, we all know everybody's household is different. Everybody's raised differently. But what does this mean for Nico Maliava as he continues to progress from being a college student, quote unquote, businessman, into being a pro? Maybe they don't think he'll be a pro. We'll find out sooner than later. And Hickey, you're filling me in. Like UCLA's former QB, like what did they do? This is like wife swap. The former QB's not going to Tennessee?
It is exactly like wife swap. Nico's going to UCLA. UCLA, before even knowing his availability in the portal, last time the winter transfer portal got former App State quarterback Joey Aguilar to be their starting quarterback. Well, now Aguilar jumped in the portal once Nico committed to UCLA. And now Aguilar is going to Knoxville, and the two quarterbacks have swapped places and will be starting for each other's teams in 2025.
Oh, man. Wouldn't it be a funny story if Joey Aguilar had a better year than him? And by the way, Joey, he never played for UCLA. Wasn't he somewhere else?
App State, yeah. He transferred there in January, went through spring practice, and transferred out as quickly as he transferred in.
Wait a minute. He did spring practice where?
At UCLA.
Oh, my God.
Went through all the practices.
He just showed up, did practice, and now he's leaving.
And now he's gone, and now he's going east. Back east, actually.
This is why we need some type of regulations when it comes to the transfer portal. This guy went from App State. He had a cup of coffee and a practice with UCLA. And now he's leaving to go to Tennessee. Like, this is ass and backwards. There's a lot of people who for years have told me, yeah, I like college, but I don't like the pros. I don't like the business of the pros, and I don't like the players making money, and I don't like this, and this is why I watch college, because it's pure sports. Well, I guess at this point in time, you just going to sit down and watch nothing, because what's going on in college athletics right now, because there's no guardrails, because there are no rules, this is worse than the pros. Like, you could get mad and you could get angry about how much money Otani is making and Soto and who's the highest paid basketball player? Hickey, is it Embiid? That non-playing ass guy makes the most money, I think, right?
You're right. He got like the latest mega supermax deal.
It's either him or Tatum making like $70 million a year. You can get mad at all those guys making all that bread and all that cash. You going to be mad at these student athletes? You might as well, because it is ridiculous. A guy went from one school, just finished, had practice with another school that he committed to, is now leaving that school, hasn't even played a game, and now going to another one. Like, where does that make sense? Last year for App State, he threw for 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Good luck in Tennessee. At least he'll have a better showing than Nico Maliava. These two are going to be compared all year long. What a world. What a crazy world we live in. Get it together on the college side. These guys are young. They're young men, but the decisions that they're allowed to make right now. It's absolutely crazy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. And speaking of youngsters, we're going to have a chat about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City Thunder just went out and did some damage, knocking off the Grizzlies 131-80, a historic blowout in a game one for an NBA first round playoff series. Are people taking the Thunder serious? What do we need to pay attention to? We're going to have a chat with someone who's covered the Thunder all the way through this season. Ryland Stiles is going to join us, covers the Thunder for the Locked On Network. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I appreciate you for listening. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, is somebody else? I think we need to appreciate them. Maybe, possibly. I'm a little pessimistic. I'm personally pessimistic. The Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm going to draw my attention to the Thunder momentarily. This is something that you need to know. It's very important that you think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's a phone number. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Before we got to Nico Iamaliava and talked about his terrible decision that he made by leaving Tennessee to go to UCLA, we talked some NBA basketball action to open up the show. Because we had a lot of ball that was played over the weekend. A lot of shots that were made, a lot of shots that were missed. But we had a lot of ugly games. We had some blowouts. There was no bigger blowout than what we witnessed and what we saw yesterday. The Oklahoma City Thunder completely ripping the Memphis Grizzlies to shreds. Okay. The Thunder ultimately won 131-80. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't even have the biggest game that you would expect from him. The man only had 15 points. Ja Morant, known as Quick Draw McGraw, Ja Morant only finished with 17. And there's a full expectation that the Thunder, who went out this past season and won 68 games, that they would beat the Grizzlies. Not by 51 points. Thunder is a young team. A lot of expectations after like being eliminated last year. To talk about what we can expect from them going forward and maybe what we need to be paying attention to. Joining us right now is someone who covers the Oklahoma City Thunder for the Locked In Thunder podcast as well as Sports Illustrated. It's Ryland Stiles. Ryland, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I mean, for a team that just went 68-14 and just had a historical blowout in game one of the first round against these Grizzlies, you've been following this team all the way through. Are you surprised at what they just did?
Yeah, I was surprised that they were able to have such a dominating win. I mean, they did sweep the Grizzlies in the regular season, and they won the games by an average of 18 points. But this was something completely different. Clearly, Memphis was on the wrong side of things in more ways than one, with having to play Friday night and then Sunday morning. But you look at last year's Thunder team, who in game one, after a week-long layoff, almost lost to a Zionless Pelicans team, had CJ McCollum's three bounced in. Memphis was not even competitive. They just outright quit after a quarter and a half of basketball. And that was shocking. I thought that you would see Ja Morant debuting his shoes, and you'd see John Bain and Jaren Jackson Jr. really try to, you know, rally around one another. I picked Thunder in five. I thought game one was one to earmark that OKC could have lost just given their long layoff. This Thunder team hasn't played competitive basketball in over a month. They've had everything locked away in terms of their seeding and records. And Memphis, on the other hand, has had to play two do-or-die games in the last week. And I thought maybe, you know, you compare it to college basketball where the number 11 seed gets hot in the play-in, plays spoiler, and that's their one win of the series. Instead, it looks really dark for Memphis right now.
Yeah, it looks real dark. Ryland Stiles is joining us, covers all things Oklahoma City Thunder. When you consider the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander only had 15 points, was 4 of 13 from the field, He's likely going to be this season's NBA MVP. What does that say towards the depth on this team? Because a lot of people across the country hear Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You're familiar with Chet Holmgren, but it pretty much stops there. What does it say about the depth of the squad?
Yeah, the Thunder have the most depth in the NBA, and it's why they were able to have the biggest blowout win in playoff history for Game 1, because whenever their version of waving the white flag is still playing guys that Memphis would kill to have in their rotation with as lackluster as Memphis's roster is. I thought that the main thing it said, though, was Jalen Williams was taking a leap from where he was a year ago, where against Dallas, he just had nothing offensively. He was still really good on the defensive side of the floor in that series, but offensively, he left a lot to be desired, which is no problem because it's his first ever time in the playoffs. But you looked at how he played last night, particularly in that second quarter, to lead the Thunder to a 30-5 run and blow this game out of the water. What once was a 12-point game, and Memphis felt like they could kind of punch you without Shai on the court, it was J-Dub who had a massive step forward, and that's an offensive gear that he didn't have a year ago. His facilitation was great. His ability to get downhill was great. And if that keeps up and that trend continues, it's why the Thunder will be a popular pick to win the championship. But it goes all out to where you point to Aaron Wiggins, who didn't play a single minute of the first quarter despite the Thunder flipping through 11 guys. And then he starts the second quarter and hits three straight threes and continues to help the Thunder gain that separation. So from top to bottom, this is a team that's littered with talent-rich players, and they're all under contract for next season as well.
Well, Rylan, you talk about what the team had to go through last season, what they did this year. Their largest offseason acquisition is someone from the New York Knicks. Him leaving the Knicks hurt the Knicks. It's Isaiah Hartenstein. He certainly helped step out. What dynamic has he added to this team?
Yeah, Hartenstein's just been a great addition to Oklahoma City in terms of the way that he's fit the culture, especially. I had an exclusive article with him talking about why he signed in Oklahoma City. And it was deeper than just the payday, which was obviously nice. But he really embraces everything the Thunder are about, the 0-0 mentality, coming into work every day and putting your best foot forward. And then the selflessness of this team, where this is a guy who has been willing to come off the bench whenever Chet Holmgren returned from injury. And they've tried that out. They've tried the double big lineups out to start. And he has no ego about it. And ultimately, they've landed on starting that two big lineup for the majority of the time that those two guys have been healthy. But it's not because of an unwillingness. He's more than willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think that he and Caruso just provide a steadiness that the Thunder did not have a year ago. And, you know, you can credit him with what he said at practice today, Hartenstein, where he was talking about that Game 1 is over now and it doesn't matter. And you win by 1 point, you win by 51 points. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's only one of the wins you need to win a playoff series. It's all about Game 2. So I think that you're going to see tomorrow what Hartenstein's brought to this team. It's that professionalism and it's that mentality of what you need to try to win a championship and a guy who can get you over the hump.
Rylan Styles is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Rylan covers the Thunder for the Locked On Thunder podcast as well as Sports Illustrated. When you think about the Thunder, it's 68 games that they won this season. But all things considered outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, They've been relatively quiet. It's like, oh, they won again, and, you know, is it him or Jokic? And that's pretty much been the extent of it. Do you think this Thunder team has been overlooked by the country?
I do. I think that they've been overlooked, especially from a standpoint of what they've had to go through to get here and how much better that they can actually be. Because you look at the Thunder, and I think that you see them at the top of the West, and you kind of just cast them aside because they were the one seed last year, and because after the additions of Hartenstein and Caruso, they were picked to be the one seed again this year, and how seriously they take the regular season comparatively to the rest of the NBA teams nowadays. But the reality is, last season, they were the number one seed in name only. I mean, it was a three-way tie. They went on a technicality, and if Devontae Graham doesn't hit the shot of his life, then the Thunder are not the number one overall seed. This year, they lapped the field in the Western Conference, and they did so while missing 20 games from Hartenstein, while missing Chet Holmgren from November 10th all the way through February 7th, with a broken hip, and they somehow got him back and ready to play off of a broken hip, an injury never before seen in the NBA. You've seen Caruso, J-Dub, you've seen Jay Will, you've seen Kenrich, you've seen all their rotational players miss significant time and be in and out of the rotation, and it hasn't wavered them one bit because of their strong-mindedness, because of their togetherness, and because of their depth that we've already touched on. So now they're healthier than they've ever been. Going back to training camp, they didn't have Kenrich, they didn't have J-Will, and they lost Hartenstein in the preseason. They've never been as healthy as they are right now, and they still won 68 games, and they still had the most double-digit wins in NBA history, leading them to the best point differential in NBA history. Like, this is the start of something that could be really special in Oklahoma City, and I don't think that people have quite grasped how good they are. It wasn't maximizing all these top talent teams, right? It wasn't maximizing their top rotation. It wasn't just outworking teams in the regular season. It was a combination of their depth because they really needed it with all of their adversity. So this team isn't battle-tested in terms of playoff games, right? Like, most of their rosters only played now 11 playoff games, but they all are battle-tested through the adversity that they've had to go through throughout the 82-game season.
When you think about the Thunder, do you see them representing the West in the NBA Finals, or do you see them as the overall favorite to win the championship?
I think that right now you have to just get out of the West. I would not be shocked. I think that Boston should still be considered the NBA favorites just because of how great that they are as a team, and they've been there and they've done that, and it would be exceptionally hard for the Thunder to win a championship this season. It would take J-Dub and Chet Holmgren and their second ever playoff run to go do it. That's something that's rarely ever been seen in the NBA. But I think that winning the West is more than obtainable for this Thunder team because they're so dominant, and we've went through their records. But you look at the playoff bracket, it's one tough matchup to get to the Western Conference Finals. Like, Memphis is a pushover. You just got to go take care of Denver or the Clippers. And if you're as good as your record says that you are, you should be able to handle that one tough matchup. And then you're in the West Finals, and you're a step away from the NBA Finals, where the bracket could still break better for you so long as the Lakers are not in that mix if they lose to the Timberwolves or before then. So I think the Thunder should be the favorites to win the West because they have the cleanest path.
And so you're saying the Los Angeles Lakers would be their toughest competition of advancing to the finals?
Oh, for sure. To me, with all due respect to the rest of the West, Luka Doncic is an amazing playmaker, and that's what you're seeing Memphis lack. Like, Memphis cannot take advantage of whatever holes the Thunder defense gives up, which typically is conceding the corner three-point shot. They cannot expose that because they don't have the guys capable of making those corner threes that are open, but also, more importantly, they don't have the guys capable to get the ball there. They can't even throw the ball to the corners because they're being harassed and hounded. And you saw Luka Doncic all last postseason, while he had one of his worst scoring series, he had his best playmaking series of just spoon-feeding open looks to P.J. Washington and Derek Jones Jr. and his role players, and they delivered for him. You look at his Laker role players, they're a lot better than P.J. Washington. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith's been there, done that. Gabe Vincent's been there, done that, leading teams as co-stars to deep runs in the postseason in each of their histories before. And, oh, yeah, he's got LeBron and he's got Austin Reeves. So they'd be the toughest matchup. Not an infallible foe for the Thunder, but for sure it would be the toughest test.
Hey, Ryan, last question for you. We got a lot of teams all over the NBA just trying to build anything. I mean, today the Atlanta Hawks got rid of Landry Fields as their GM. We see the disaster that is Nico Harrison with the Dallas Mavericks. Sam Presti has gone through Russell Westbrook and Ibaka and James Harden and Kevin Durant, going through a period of transition to having another team here. What has Sam Presti done? And do the fans really appreciate how he's been able to bridge and come out of what was one era to another?
Sam Presti could be the governor of the state if he wanted to be. That the fans love him so much, because what he's done would be impressive in any NBA market, but to do it in the smallest NBA market and have sustainable success with only 2 years of a true rebuild under your belt is phenomenal. And I think that more teams need to adopt his style of team building, where he circles his guys. Like, Chet Holmgren was always his guy the entire draft, and Jalen Williams, who had a rising stock in his draft cycle late after the combine, but even him, what was viewed as like, okay, maybe you reached a little bit at 12, but you reached on your guy. Who cares what the consensus is on some of these players? And then the willingness to go out on a limb and try and fail. Like, you go and try for Pokuševski, you go and try for these, you know, high-end players who have very low floors. But whenever you're in a market like OKC, your best bet on hitting on a star isn't free agency and isn't even really the trades. It's finding them in the draft through those crevices. So you've got to be willing to fail, and you've got to be willing to let young players play. I think that oftentimes teams just look at the record, and then the Thunder went through two seasons where they won 20-something games. But in those two seasons, their young guys played, their young guys got better, and their young guys were with the same coach who instilled in them the defensive schemes that we're seeing have such success today and take them to such historic heights. So the patient approach from Sam, whenever everybody was begging for him to cash in these future first-round picks on the trade market, and instead he just remained pat and again stuck to his plan, that willingness to be patient is lost on a lot of NBA teams.
Yeah, we certainly see that. A lot of guys at the top of the totem pole, the owners, just try to hit the button a little too fast. Yeah. We see that in Phoenix with a guy like Matt Ishbia. Now he's paying for it and paying for it in more ways than one. Hey, Ryland, I appreciate the time and your insight as it relates to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where can people follow and listen to you and your work covering the team?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun. You can go check out Locked On Thunder anywhere you get your podcast from, and thunderonsi.com as well, and on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. But I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely, Ryland. Let's see what happens the rest of the playoffs. Have a chat maybe real soon.
Sounds good.
No problem. That Ryland Styles, you just heard him, covers all things Thunder for the Locked On Thunder podcast as well as Sports Illustrated. Let me tell you, you don't win 68 games by accident. I don't think there are that many NBA teams, as many that are trying to go out there and tank and get draft picks. I don't think there are that many that are trying to go out and just take an L. Okay, let's see what the Thunder can do. Certainly, it would be a disaster, a massive disappointment, if they don't end up at minimum in the NBA's Western Conference Finals. They have to do that at minimum. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I mentioned a disaster in Nico Harrison. Oh, my God. This guy opened up his mouth today. And now that the Dallas Mavericks season is, now that it's non-existent, Nico Harrison spoke to the media again. He put his foot in his mouth again. We'll get to that. And then, you know what? Immediately on the other side of the break, we'll talk about an individual. He may be one of these Sam Presti draft picks, but maybe not. It'll be a fall if this guy makes it anywhere past number one. We had a guy who declared for the draft today. I'll tell you who it is if you don't already have an inkling.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you oh so much. Oh so much. Thank you to Ryland Styles for joining us in the last break to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder and what we can expect from them. Already blew out the Memphis Grizzlies by 51 points in game one of their first round playoff matchup. This is a team that won 68 games. Typically, you win that many games, people are looking at you and they're just like, where's the championship? And as Ryland said, as I believe, it's still the Celtics. It's still the Celtics championship to lose. They went out and won the championship last year. The strongest team, you would think, in the East. Not a lot of people talked about the Celtics all year, and because there's a full expectation that they're just going to go out there and whoop up on the competition. Like we don't care what you do in a regular season. The season starts now for a team like the Boston Celtics, and it's going to be up to the Oklahoma City Thunder to even meet them there. Well, whoever the hell is going to come out of the East. So thank you so much to Ryland Styles for joining us. I mean, a lot of the clips that I see from OKC, have seen throughout the course of the year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it's them messing with that reporter. Like to put hats and scarves and clothes on them. They always messing around with that guy. Hickey, that's like the biggest thing I see out of that team. All the jokes.
They're a fun, loving, loose team that's also extremely talented and deep. Best combo you can have, right?
Now, Hickey, let me tell you something. How about this? If they don't win this year, just the champ. Okay, let's start at the championship, right? Or let's even go as far to look at the Western Conference. Let's say they don't even get to the finals.
Okay.
If they come back next year, now they have to be serious. They have to knock that stuff off, right? There's no more fun and games.
Interesting. I think you can have it both ways where you're if they play better or looser, and it's obviously in two regular seasons at least worked really well, I don't think you should change who you are entirely because you haven't gotten to your goal in the playoffs yet. Oh. I think they can still have fun, but also bring maybe a little bit more of a focus as well.
I don't think so. I think if they don't have at least whatever their benchmark for success is, if they don't have that this year, like somebody will tell them, all right, guys, knock it off. Like they're going to be looked at. They're going to be looked on as a joke. It's one thing to be the young team and to do all of this right now. It's another thing to have championship aspirations. And of course, a season is long. But when you win 68 games and you're beating everybody up every night, you only lost 14 games. This is a long ass season. They only lost 14 games. It's different when now, hey, you guys were supposed to win and you didn't do that. Hey, you were supposed to compete for a title. You didn't do that. I think somebody has to go, all right, let's not. We got to be, Hickey, they got to be killers. You can't kill them with kindness. It's too much of a, and this might be good and fun now. It's too much of a college atmosphere. If it doesn't work this year, if they have a disappointing end to the season, it doesn't have to finish in a championship. But if there's a disappointment, they got to knock it off just a little bit. And speaking of just knocking things off, we'll get to Nico. Hickey, I still can't believe what this man said earlier today about the Mavs. You already said about Luka, he didn't know how important he was to the fan base.
Unfortunately, I did hear that.
Like, are we getting punked? Are the Mavs fan base is getting punked, right?
I think Ashton Kutcher is ready to jump out right now and say,
right,
boom, gotcha.
Yeah, right. It's just sad. Like, they're punking the entire Mavericks fan base. But we'll get to Nico Collins at the top of the hour. Somebody that won't be drafted by the Dallas Mavericks. Somebody that won't get drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they're actually a good team. You know, they have all these draft picks. It's Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg expected to go number one overall in this NBA draft. For about 3 days, it was like, oh, well, he loves college so much, he might stay. Hell to the nah. Cooper Flagg said, I'm leaving. I'm getting the hell up out of Duke. I'm going to the NBA. Not a surprise. This guy won Player of the Year as a freshman. He's going to be busting ass in the NBA. At least that's the expectation. And people that I've spoken to, people that we had here on the air, have said he's anywhere from Andre Kirilenko to, you know, a smaller Kevin Garnett. He's just a full overall basketball player. He can play defense. He can block shots. He can knock down a three. He can initiate an offense. So he can do a lot of the things. Someone that's going to miss him, but will certainly wish him well, is John Shire. Because on Duke social media, he said, great having you here. Thank you for getting us to the Final Four at least. Good luck in the NBA.
Really proud of Cooper for the special season that he had this year. You know, I think the accolades speak for itself with what he did, you know, winning every National Player of the Year award. His highlights, his statistics, the ways he impacted the game on both ends of the floor, really in every category, was off the charts. As good of a freshman season that the guys had here.
Hickey, why doesn't somebody tell him he doesn't need to kiss his ass anymore? Like, what are we doing?
Criticizing for him doing too much against Houston.
Oh, my goodness. What, for Shire or a Flag?
Flag.
Oh,
great player, great career, but
yeah.
Coop could use a few more shots there in the end.
You're talking about at the end? Oh,
yeah.
Come on. John Shire is just like, you know, just in case they want to get rid of me here at Duke, you know, maybe I can make myself a good case with Cooper, you know, go to the NBA. I mean, it's a possibility. I'm like, man, how much? I get it. Very, very nice for him to do, but it was a lot of ass kissing in that regard. And Cooper Flagg, you heard the awards that John Shire mentioned that he won. National Player of the Year, National Freshman of the Year, Consensus First Team All-American, ACC Player of the Year, ACC Rookie of the Year. And about a year ago in the summertime, Cooper Flagg was playing against the grown men of Team USA Basketball. Yeah, those same guys that went to France, went to Paris, and won gold. LeBron James and Steph Curry, and Jason Tatum. Yeah. He was out there playing against those dudes, and there was a stretch where they said he just kind of controlled the game. What? I don't care if it was three possessions. The fact that you're on a basketball court Hickey, can he buy? He can't buy a beer yet, can he? He can't, right? What are you, 18 years old?
18, 19 years old. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No booze for him.
He cannot buy a beer. Hickey, he could have had three good possessions against Team USA basketball. He's 18 years old. He doesn't turn 19 until December 21st. And he's out there playing with LeBron and Durant and Tatum. What?
With most of those guys close to, if not more than double his age.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Durant is twice his age. Steph Curry is what? Just about twice his age. LeBron James is slightly older than twice his age. Durant is exactly twice his age. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
That's crazy. And he's out there just hanging in with the future is bright, whatever the hell is going to be for Cooper Flagg. So, yeah, he'll be in the NBA draft, not a surprise. And he'll also go number one overall, unless some type of alien lands from outer space and takes the spot. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about someone who needs to get sent to outer space. Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, put his foot in his mouth again, talking about Luka Doncic. The world doesn't agree. Charles Barkley doesn't either. We'll talk about it. Don't move.